Rick Emerson radio program. Who is this?
Amadon. They're playing tonight and tomorrow at Kells. They have to play every year.
I dig this one. What does this remind me of? This reminds me of somebody. I forget who. It reminds me of somebody.
I keep thinking of Dropkick Murphys songs.
Yeah, I can see that. It's kind of a social distortion sort of a thing, like that same.
That was the first thing that came to my mind, actually.
Yeah. That kind of a deal. Like if it had, what's his name, Joe King singing. All right.
And they're local, too. They're pretty good.
Where are they playing?
Kells, Friday and Saturday.
Amadon. Kells, Saturday. Go see them.
Yeah, my friend Dave has been on my ass for, like, years to listen to them.
Excellent. All right, there you go. Amadon, see them Saturday, Kells. 503-733-2-9-7. I love it when there's something local that doesn't suck. So I get a, I don't want to name any names.
Yeah, they play a lot of places. They play the Doug Fir, I think, next week.
See, and then like, there's two things that happen. One, people will send us a CD and it's like, hey, check out this great Portland band, and then you listen, it's like the worst thing you've ever heard. And then you want to like it because it's from Portland, but then it's just ass. Or, did you ever do this? You hear a great song, and you think it's a Portland band. You listen to it, you're like, these guys are great. And then you look, and they're from, like, you know, Montego Bay, you know? And you're like, well, where? So it's great when you hear something that is a great song, and then it actually is local. It's 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll pay a visit to the Ministry of Truth. Let's welcome another Rick Emerson show from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend Scott Daly. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
It sounds like Rancid. That's kind of true, too. Guy pointing out Rancid a little bit.
Who's that band that does that song from The Departed? I've been hearing it a lot.
Dropkick Murphys.
Is that Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah.
With this morning?
I don't have it here. I'll find it and make sure. I'm shipping up to Boston.
That's it, yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah. I don't know where it is. I had it somewhere.
Are they from Boston?
I think so. To be honest, I actually don't know the answer to that. You're talking about this one right here? It's a Dropkick Murphy.
Great song.
It's on an album called The Warrior's Code, which came out a couple years ago, which is good. Not fantastic, but it's a pretty strong record, but that's on there. It's 503-733-2970. Are you reviewing something today?
No, sir. Okay. Nothing opens today. You know what opens today?
No.
That Sandra Bullock film.
Now, see, the trailer for that looked really good.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I like the trailer.
All right. I got to say something right here. You did not like the trailer for 300, but you like the trailer of the Sandra Bullock film?
Here's why I like the trailer for the Sandra Bullock film. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm a huge Sandra Bullock fan or something.
It's not the point.
I like the trailer for Premonition because it doesn't give anything away. I mean, it sort of gives you the gist of what's going on in the film, but it doesn't give you the ending. You can't figure out how it resolves. Like, let me tell you about the worst trailer. It's the trailer for that new, I just want to say Hannibal Lecter, the trailer for that new Anthony Hopkins film where he's interrogated by the cops.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called now.
I can't remember it now, but yeah.
I saw it at Zodiac, and I saw it at The Breach. I saw the trailer for that new Anthony Hopkins film. And it's awful. Both times I've seen it, it looks awful because they give you, I mean, this is a constant, I'm like the billionth guy to complain about it. Yeah. They give you the whole thing from soup to nuts. They give you the entire movie in about 2 minutes. And at least the Sandra Bullock thing, they make it sort of mysterious, where I can't tell you what's going on in the film. Like, I still really don't know what it's about, which, and I give it points just for trying to leave me guessing.
Okay, I can see that.
So, I mean, I'm probably not going to see it, because the reviews are all terrible. But did you ever see Norbit?
Yes.
Is it awful?
It's unbelievably bad. It's as bad as the trailers make it out to be.
See, that's another one where I almost want to see it because it just looks so bad.
It's not even funny bad. It's just embarrassing.
It's Eddie Murphy in a fat suit, though, kind of screaming like a woman. You would think that would be funny.
He already did that in Nutty Professor.
Yeah, but it was funny then, too.
That's right. We don't need to do it again. Which was released within weeks of his nomination for an Oscar, which just kills me.
Well, that's the thing, though. They always do some ass movie.
Amazing.
And then the studio holds it, and then they release it right after they win the Academy Award.
Absolutely.
You know, say, hey, Man in the Iron Mask. Bam. You know.
All right.
We got a top five here. We'll do your top five here in just a few. So forth. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, pay heed.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Behave with a
a treacherous film. Local police officers will be out in force on St. Patrick's Day. As a matter of fact, 65 drivers were arrested last year, and this year they want to arrest even more. So the best thing to do if you want to drink is have a more TriMet. Imagine being held captive in a small place with intoxicated strangers who can't wait to make you the next victim.
Intoxicated TriMet strangers.
Totally. Which means they stink to begin with.
No offense.
Be more festive. Meanwhile, there is a wee bit of all of us. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a wee bit of Irish in all of us. In St. Patrick's Day. This seems to be an awful long day for some reason. I think we should stop by the Cleveland Clinic and...
Oh, I was unprepared. Hold on a second. Wait, hold on. Let's just go meet them.
Stop by the Cleveland Clinic and find out.
You have to wait while I find the Cleveland Clinic sound.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Long. All right. What?
Well, there's a wee bit of Irish in most of us. Parties, get-togethers, family dinners wouldn't be complete without that delicious corned beef and cabbage. Let's talk to the head dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic, Elizabeth Penniman, who talks about eating corned beef and cabbage.
A lot of times they find that corned beef is really piled on the sandwiches pretty high, and most likely you're going to be getting more than one serving.
Not
me. If you have a corned beef sandwich, I would definitely recommend splitting it with somebody else or taking half of it home. That way you cut your portion down.
Jim, what? I'm looking at the sound cloud, just ends. She died of thrombosis.
Who made the Cleveland Clinic the lord and overrule of everybody and what they're supposed to do?
I don't even know what the... It's ridiculous.
And that's a good...
Like, you're all angry about it. Don't be angry.
Well, here's what I'm just saying. We had this discussion on many occasions.
Oh, okay, all right.
That the news business in itself is East Coast centric. By the time we come in, everyone's gone home except for the Cleveland Clinic.
It's true. They're the only ones around.
That's why, by default, the Cleveland Clinic is the spokesperson for just about every disease imaginable.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, well, we tried to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction the other day. Steve Kastenbaum went to bed at like 10 a.m.
Like, the whole people are gone. Everything is locked up. They don't allow people out here to originate their own stories.
The country is still left to be reported on.
All right, how about this, though? Does the Cleveland Clinic talk about the dangers of drinking and driving or drinking lots of alcohol? No, they talk about splitting a corned beef sandwich in half. I mean, if you're going to ingest a ton of whiskey and green beer tomorrow... Who's going to be worried about an extra serving of corn?
You're taking the Cleveland Clinic much too seriously.
You really are. You're a little worked up. Don't project on the Cleveland Clinic. It loves you.
I don't know what we do without them on a Friday afternoon.
Without who?
Hey, I love the Cleveland Clinic, but I just...
All right, we're done. Stop it. Can I just talk about drinking and driving for a second?
Oh, yeah, please.
No, I'm just going to say, speaking of, you were talking about that, and of course we urge everyone to behave responsibly and so forth.
And right, comment.
But I say that, knowing that, like, many of you won't because you're dumb, and so...
I look forward to jumping on the TriMet at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
To spending the evening downtown.
My thing about drunk driving at PSA, I really, and I don't mean to sound like a cynic, I really would like to know, I really do wonder if drunk driving incidents are down over, let's say, the last, whatever, decade. Because of drunk driving PSAs. I don't mean to be flip about it or to make light of it. I'm just saying, if you have to be told, like, who doesn't know... Drunk driving PSAs to me are almost like they're like the don't smoke PSAs. Like, who, what kind of idiot is not aware at this point that you shouldn't do either of those things? Like, really?
But you're getting in the way of commerce because I've worked in many places, especially in small towns, where they sponsor the highway death toll every hour.
Really? We should
but
totally
actually,
do
that. The death toll this hour is 2:35. This is brought to you by Peggy's Thimble Store.
Thimblearium. All right, hold on. Make a note for Dean Snyder here. Death toll.
Well, that's a long-forgotten revenue enhancement.
No, that's an added value.
That's a great idea.
Add that into one of our next annuals that somebody buys. All right.
I mean, the AP used to print that out every hour during a holiday week.
The highway death toll. Come and get some hot wings, won't
like
you, please?
Like a tote board for the Jerry Lewis telephone?
They stopped doing it. I don't know why.
We should totally do that, but not for the highway. It should be for something else.
Nice.
Some sort of a, I don't know, we'll think on it. All right, I'm going to pass that up to the sales department. They're always looking for things they can add on to their packages. All right, there you go.
Tomorrow's anti-war march to the Pentagon is expected to draw tens of thousands of hippies. Demonstrators are calling for a total and immediate U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. It doesn't work because there's nobody listening. Among the protesters will be Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson, who is calling for the president's impeachment.
Impeach this president, send him over for trial before the United States Senate, and remove this president and the vice president of the United States from office.
Well, it wouldn't work that way because Cheney would become president.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks, Rocky.
Who's actually running things anyway.
It's kind of odd the mayor of Salt Lake City's name is Rocky.
And that he's a Democrat. In Salt Lake City,
watch me pull a Mormon out of my hat.
I think we have a phrase of the day.
Hey, Rocky!
Again! You snorted.
I did snort. That was hilarious.
I can't really
well,
talk
that's like, a new campaign slogan.
I can't talk like Rocky the Squirrel in any other way except
Scotty can.
Probably doing it right now.
Except just for that one word. Because that's June 4A, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I can.
That's all I can do. Anyway. In Salt Lake though they always elect Democratic mayors always.
That's really bizarre.
It's because the Mormons run the rest of the state, which yeah. It's true. It's like 97% Mormon legislature there, but Salt Lake City itself is actually kind of liberal relative to the rest of the state anyway. Rick, big ups for playing Amadon. I try to catch them whenever they play in Portland. They are amazing live. It's like getting kicked in the face for 2 hours straight. F yeah. Let's see, the first time I ever saw them, they dragged me and my out-of-town friends on the stage and had to sing the chorus to Black and Tan. Isn't that about IRA car bombings or something? That song? Black and Tan?
I don't know, I'm not familiar with it.
Tasty
I'm
drink.
Not familiar with the melody.
Because there's a drink and then there's an ice cream thing called a Black and Tan as well, because there's a Ben & Jerry's flavor called the Black and Tan. And I believe it was somebody, I do think that there was like some Irish advocacy group or whatever is all upset about it. Because it is some reference to like things being blown into little pieces somewhere in Ireland. Wherever it is that happens. Ask just a question.
Nobody was listening.
Here's Tim Riley.
All right, one more. A North Pole expedition meant to bring attention to global warming has been called off after one of the explorers got frostbite. The explorers and Bancroft, who was thought to be dead.
And Bancroft. How can she get frostbite?
And Liv Arneson, on Saturday, called it off. They were making a 530-mile trek across the Arctic Ocean after Arneson suffered frostbite in three of her toes.
Are you trying to kill me, Miss Robinson?
And said losing toes at all costs were never part of the journey. On Monday, the pair was at Canada's Ward Hunt Island, awaiting a plane to take them to Resolute Canada so they could go home to beautiful Minneapolis.
If you're going to go trekking in Alaska in the middle of March, I would assume that frostbite might be a possibility.
And Bancroft?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Is Mel with her?
Rick, if the Chinese lady mistakenly held the udder picture upside down and the Mexican man thought she was offering birthday cake, wouldn't he still need a glass of milk to go with the cake, creating the need for yet another picture? Michael in Seaside.
This is truly a thinking match program.
It really is.
Did you see the picture of the udders?
The more you know.
Why did you show Scott Deli?
This
is just got.
Let's see the others.
Quit sending me jokes about the abortion magazine. They're not going to get read. Knock it off now.
All right. This is. Where did I draw?
That's my picture of an udder.
It looks like a sad sunshine.
The half a sunshine. The beams are only coming out of
they're
one
only
side.
Sad.
It's
so
only
deep.
Shining down. The. I don't know how else to draw an udder. You can't just draw a big boob. I mean, that's not going to work. I mean, that's clearly not going to... All right. Let's see here. What do we have? Rick. This is another Amadon thing. Rick. About the... people are obsessed with this story about the Chinese woman, the Mexican man, and myself. It does sound like a joke, I guess. A Chinese woman, a Mexican man, and Rick Emerson walk into a Plaid Panther. Rick, you just said she screwed him out of his cream. You have the best radio station on Earth.
I love your audience. They're so great.
That's one way to look at it, I suppose. What time is it?
It's time to break.
Let's do this call about a black and tan, and let's never talk about it again. Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey. Black and tan were the uniforms the English wore when they were in Southern Ireland.
That's what it is.
There was a song called The Black and Tan where it was, come out and fight me like a man, leave your gun in the street.
And it was a whole lot of F you British bastards.
Yeah, it was pretty much challenging the English to put down their guns and come fight the Irish without their guns. And that's pretty much the whole thing was about their uniform.
Yeah, so I guess there was some advocacy group that was all upset about this Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, that would be the English. And who probably have the guns still.
They
still need to put down their guns.
Yeah, but they can't.
I'm sorry, I'm Irish.
They can't chew their food, though. So they got, got that working against them. So, all right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Happy St. Patrick's Day, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Another visit to the Ministry of Truth, the top five with Scott Daly and so forth and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. Did I really say earlier that the Rick Emerson Show is seen on this station every day?
You did.
Why didn't you correct me when I said that?
Because I was laughing.
Why do you let me say things like that?
Because I don't like you.
Okay, never mind. There's supposed to be some sort of a governor on this program. All right, 503-733-2970. You stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Dropkick Murphy, shipping up Boston, in The Departed. That's the song that everybody says, what's that song in The Departed? It is that song right there.
Bam.
It is a great song. I hope those guys get some success out of this, too, because they've kind of been around forever, and a lot of people kind of know who they are, but they've never really had any mainstream success. The closest thing they ever had to a hit single was a song called 10 Years of Service a couple years ago, which got played on MTV a little bit, but they never really broke through.
And how great for them that Martin Scorsese put their song in the film.
Yeah,
that's the best.
I mean, he's
so great.
He's right there with, I mean, really the only person who's on even his level in terms of being able to picking a song and making it popular is Tarantino.
Yeah.
Tarantino's the only, and he probably stole all that, all that idea. The best part, by the way, is how there's, I'm looking at this lyrics page. We were like reading along with the lyrics, make sure they didn't shout F or something like halfway through. Right here, I don't know what banner is at the top of the page where you're looking, Sarah, but over here it's something encouraging me to join the Stroke Association. Right here.
Is Billy Squire president?
No, I was thinking of something else. Apparently it's some, to end the plague of strokes that people have in this country.
Mine's for AOL. No, it's not exciting.
This one says, click here, would you like to join the Stroke Association? Would I ever? It's 503-733-2970. I'm also going to say this. We're going to go to Tim here in a second, then the top five. I'm just going to say, here's why this show is great. Not because I was just talking about the Stroke Association, but because I'm looking at line 3 or line 2 here. It just says this. Steve is his name, and then it just says, I was hit in testicles by a goat. That's all it says. If you look at the screen right here, it says, like line one is a guy about Vizo, and like we got the email, and like three, line three is whatever, and then we got this. Steve, line two, was hit in testicles by a goat.
Do we really need the call for this point? I mean, that's...
You'll never hear about that in Oprah.
No, it's true. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth, please make way.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A hot food machine burns part of downtown Pendleton to the ground.
Fantastic.
Half block of downtown Pendleton gone. All because of a popcorn machine. Eagles Club employee and bartender Monica Powell said there was some sort of problem with the popcorn machine. She said
really? Like it was on fire.
She started it, but hadn't even added any oil of popcorn yet. So she got on the phone to call up another employee for a minute. Soon there was smoke coming out of the machine. So she hung up and ended her phone call quickly. She opened up the plastic doors of the popcorn machine, heard a loud pop, and then the tragic flames.
What is this button that says engulf?
She said she was able to... Well, she wasn't able to make the fire extinguisher work and ran out the door for help. Well, it took crews from Pendleton, Pilot Rock, and Hermiston to come in, but it didn't end until the Confederate tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation responded to the white man's smoke signals. They put out the blaze. A shoe repair business and a coffee bean shop were also lost, along with the Eagles Lodge.
It's a little bit of irony there, isn't it?
Wouldn't you, if you were the Indians, wouldn't you have just told us to go pound it? We need your help, Indian guys. No.
White man's popcorn machine. And
we need your help putting out a fire. You know, we need millions of generations of ancestors back. Screw you.
Well, there is a big casino right there, too.
That'll keep
that's me. Inappropriate. That kind of humor isn't going to fly here, Scott Daly.
Excuse me.
We're sorry. It all went downhill after smoke signals. There was nothing else. There was nowhere to go after smoke signals. We should have just left it there.
Well, a new government report finds that more than 1 million American kids are huffing household products to get high. This has never happened before. The report issued by the Federal Substance Abuse Authority showed an increase in inhalant use among girls, while the use among boys remains fairly consistent.
How do they even... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... How do they even determine that? Do they ask the kids?
Well, no, they have this doctor named Wesley Clark working on this report. He says that kids between 12 and 17 are using a wide range of household products to cause inebriation.
Shoe polish, glue, aerosol sprays, correction fluid, cleaning fluid, dust off, Freon, different kinds of industrial or domestic products that are not designed for human consumption.
Man. Next week is National Inhalants and Poison Week.
Well, go buy some today, won't you please?
Drink some milk
for the kids. Buy enough for the whole family. Buy it in bulk. You don't want to, like, some of that stuff I've sniffed. I've never really huffed, but some of that stuff I sniffed just because when you're like, I think a young boy especially, like all kinds of weird products, you just want to see what it smells like. What does this smell like? And it's like marks a lot, markers and all this stuff. Liquid paper, like whiteout, you sniff that, it's like sniffing smelling salts. It like scorches the inside. I don't know how you could sniff enough of that stuff to get you high. It just scores out the inside of your nasal passages. So, well, don't do that, kid. Teenage suicide and huffing. Don't do it.
Stop that.
Yes.
Stop it now. You'll end up operating a popcorn machine at the Eagles Lodge.
Seriously. We don't have any...
Whole pound.
We don't have any butter. Can I just use paint thinner? Well, let's... I'm not going to play bagpipes during the goat story, Scott. Let's get these calls, and then Tim will help us count down the top five with Scott Daly. Steve, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm drunk.
I know it's not Relatable Thursday, but I heard you talking about a horn in the scrotum, and that happened to me about 6 years ago.
This is now... This is a part of a news story. We haven't gotten to it yet, but it's about a matador in Madrid who was taunting a big animal with horns like a retard, and the animal just gored him with one of his big horns.
Oh.
So,
well, he had it today. I was not taunting the animal. I was actually going out to just walking out into the field to look at it. This friend of mine had this five horned goat, and I went out to go inspect it, and it had five horns, and they all came at me. And I spent the next couple hours in the hospital getting 16 stitches in my nether region.
16 no good itches.
Now, when you say you were going to inspect the goat, was it going to be a painful inspection? Because maybe the goat knew that.
No. There was no Congress involved.
No, I didn't. Okay, why do you have to? I wasn't going to take this to the gutter, sir. Why must you turn this program into a cesspool? I was simply going to say, were you going out to, like, I don't know, what are they? Are they shear goats or something, or that?
No, I'd never seen a five-horned goat. So, you know, he said, come out here and check this thing out. It's kind of nuts. So
five.
Kind of nuts.
Five horns?
Kind of nuts. Five horns. It's called a Jacob sheep, and they've got many horns that come out at many different angles. And when they come at you, you're not sure which way to dodge.
Okay. I love it when the callers laugh at their own jokes, by the way. But add like a little hee-hee on the end of it. That really is what sells it. All right. God bless you, sir. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. Final call ever. Ever. We're never taking any more phone calls. Chris, hello. Well, then,
that was
no fuss. All right. Is there anything? There's nothing opening today except for the Sandra Bullock film, which apparently isn't very good.
There's a Chris Rock film, too.
I Think I Love My Wife.
I Love My Wife, yeah.
I heard that's not very good.
I've heard it's awful.
It's too bad. You know, there's so many comedians who just can't act.
I don't know.
Chris Rock has never...
Not only is he in the film...
He's never been good at anything except maybe Nurse Betty.
Mm.
And I would argue that he wasn't very good in that. I don't think Chris Rock has ever acted well in anything.
James, I'll check
See,
out.
But even then, I don't think he was acting really well. I think he was kind of being himself. He was kind of just being his shrill stand-up.
He also directed I Think I Love My Wife. And the reports I've read, his directing is about as great as his acting.
He's just...
We're in for a treat.
He's one of the funniest men on earth and one of the best stand-ups of the last 30 years. He can't act, though.
Right.
As opposed to George Carlin, who very clearly can act when he's given the opportunity. Chris Rock has been given the opportunity, just can't do it. So, I mean, not that I'm anybody to criticize, but still, come on.
Come on.
It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, ably assisted by Tim Riley, let us now begin today's Top 5.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley with today's Top 5, brought to you by Scott Daly.
Meant to support and generate even more money for a film, the movie soundtrack has become a staple of the movie geek's music library. While some soundtracks are merely tossed aside once the movie takes a nosedive, some grow to great heights of popularity. And so, like a Sith apprentice killing his master, whatever that is, these are the top 5 soundtracks that have equaled or even outlived the film for which they supported. As presented by the Chaps at Film Fever Radio.
By the assless Chaps at Film Fever Radio.
And it says, take it away, fat lip. I don't know who that is. In the HM, honorable mention, we'll go to Clockwork Orange.
Really?
Yeah.
The soundtrack to Clockwork? I don't even remember anything on the soundtrack except for Singing in the Rain.
It's Singing in the Rain. It's
I thought that was a Broadway musical.
Beethoven's Ninth.
Oh, that's right. That's right, okay.
Just in, you know, synthesized in different various versions, because really what's great about the soundtrack is essentially a driver in the film. You know, because the whole process that Alice goes through, one of the treatment that he goes through, he can't hear Beethoven.
Right.
Beethoven's the music played over the film.
Not Ludwig von!
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's what makes it great. And also, this soundtrack really kind of made me appreciate classical music as a whole.
When how, I disturbing. First, how disturbing. How disturbing that you grew to love Beethoven because of Clockwork Orange.
Very true. It's very true. So this particular soundtrack really kind of made me appreciate the classical music, and it really made me kind of help open my eyes to film and how important music, soundtracks, and scores play in film.
Grudel of Beethoven and raping. Here's Tim Riley.
And the ultraviolence.
At number 5, it's The Crow.
Yes.
Oh, The Crow.
Such a great soundtrack.
It is a great soundtrack. It's got that Cure song called Burn.
Well, as a matter of fact.
Is that what you're using here?
That's
I haven't seen
using.
This outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Crow is a great film. I was actually thinking about this the other day. There it is. It's coming up. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. You know, The Crow is a weird movie. Even if you take away the mystique of Brandon Lee dying, It's not, I mean, it's not a perfect film.
I really liked it.
That's what I'm saying. It's,
yeah,
it's bizarre. It shouldn't be as good as it is either, but, you know, I saw The Crow, I think, 5 times in the theater. It had a weird kind of hold on me. Forgot a hold on me, but I was really
It's one of those Gotham City things where the city's just completely out of control.
Yeah.
And there are these people who can just run amok and burn down buildings and... I like it.
And listening to the soundtrack, I mean, it really captures. Listening to the soundtrack.
This song is and this is the sequence where he's putting on the makeup.
Yeah, yeah. This is just great stuff.
Oh, I'm going to rent this weekend.
Actually,
I'm going to go buy it at CD Gamer soon.
It's a flawed movie, but it's really good.
It's very, very good.
There are things about it, and the thing is, as I say, it's more than the sum of its parts, because there's some things about it that are sort of cliched and maybe not done all that well, but it doesn't matter because somehow, maybe some of it is that he's dead, and so there's this mystique around
it.
Yeah,
there's that.
But I remember seeing this, and I felt really compelled to go back and see it time and time again. Well, 4 or 5 times I've
seen it. And look at the time it came out. I mean, it's the mid-1990s. The anti-hero has kind of reached its apex at that time. And so the films that were coming out were your typical hero films, whereas The Crow is your anti-hero. And the soundtrack really kind of builds on that. And that's what makes the soundtrack so great.
And it does have a couple of really great lines. It does have that... It has that line that they're all dead. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
Which is just, it gives me chills.
And,
just to think about it, it's giving me chills.
And as long as there are PC drama nerds and comic nerds out there, this soundtrack will always be existing.
And Eric Draven is a cool name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, great.
Eric Draven is a cool name. I'm going to go buy that this weekend, too.
God damn it. I'm going to buy it, too.
Yes.
I'm going to watch The Crow tonight.
Good. All right.
At number 4, The Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Totally. Absolutely. You talk about introduced a whole generation.
You know, we were racking our brain to figure out what song.
James Brown.
Yeah, exactly. The old Landmark.
Don't be lost when the time comes.
Yeah. Again, another great example of a soundtrack that goes along with the film. You know,
well, people don't realize that the Blues Brothers, and you'll say this, and people who are really into traditional musicals will laugh. The Blues Brothers is a musical in every sense of the word. There's every type of musical. There are big street choreographed pieces. There are performance pieces. There are small choreographed pieces that burst out of the middle of nowhere in dialogue, like in the diner sequence with Aretha Franklin.
Yep. Yep.
Where he says, "Oh, shut up, woman," and then she begins singing. She bursts in and she answers him in song.
Yeah.
The Blues Brothers is a musical in the traditional Hollywood sense. It's just that it's done with rhythm and blues, and so people don't really realize.
Well done, because you're watching it and you come away and you said people don't realize it, but you're watching the musical.
Yeah.
Durringer.
Number 3 is Singles.
Singles.
Yeah.
You know,
great soundtrack.
I would be repressed if I did not include at least one Cameron Crowe soundtrack on a list of top 5 soundtracks.
Well, Cameron Crowe, I mean,
he loves music almost as much as he loves films.
And is this Mother Love Bone?
Yes, it is.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
No, I'm just saying. Oh, like, I can't.
Right. This.
Oh, I.
Come on. I know. See?
This song just kills me.
I know.
This song is
a fantastic song. Chloe Dancer, Crown of Thorns. I mean, I just listened to this all day.
Oh, you hit the post.
I hit the post on that.
Yeah.
You practice that before you can
have it. Yeah. And.
I
got chills.
No, it's this song. This song just. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
B, it's that Andrew Wood recorded this and then never got to live to see its success because he died.
Exactly.
Andrew Wood overdosed right before this song became popular.
So sad. Listen to this.
It's just a sad song.
And then it just picks up, you know, it just kicks into a completely different song later in the song.
And Singles, and I'm not a big fan of the Seattle scene, the grunge scene and so forth, but this has got Paul Westerberg,
Smashing Pumpkins.
Singles is a great movie, too. It's unfairly not.
It really does, and I think this is one of those films that the first time I saw it in the theater, I could identify with those people on screen. I identified most with Campbell Scott,
right,
with Steve in that film, and I just like, wow, and it really, really grabbed me.
I'm so glad you picked this song. This is hands down one of my 10 favorite rock songs.
Agreed.
Of all time.
I would have
10
to.
Favorite rock recordings ever.
I'd have to.
We were this close. In the post-production of Bigger Than Jesus, I came this close to putting this song in the background.
Really?
Of a scene. And we ended up not doing it, but just because it's... Yeah, I have no words to describe how beautiful this song is. It's one of the greatest songs of the last 20 years.
And at number 2, this is Spinal Tap.
Totally. Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
And that they...
I had to. I had to use this song.
Okay, I'm just going to be quiet and let this play. This is really my answer. It's not that I dislike Jack Black, but this is sort of my answer to people who think that Tenacious D is really groundbreaking. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just that it was done. It was done like, what's that?
No, I said, what do they know?
Yes, 25 years ago they were doing this.
I mean, but all I've got to say about the soundtrack, come on.
Oh, yeah, no, and it's got everything. It's got Give Me Some Money, Sex Farm Woman, Hellhole,
Cups and Cakes.
Cups and Cakes, America. Is this number two?
Yeah, it's number two.
All right, we have to let this go for a second.
To the pipes and pans.
This is the best song. Spinal Tap is the best movie ever.
Commentary. What's in the commentary?
Yeah, everything character.
So great.
It's the first DVD I bought ever. Bought the DVD player, and on the way out, I'm like, and Spinal Tap found that. This is so interchangeable with so much real rock that exists. I'm just sure, I'm waiting to see if we can get to the mandolin part.
Hold my hand here.
These guys, they can tour forever because the joke will never get, like, the joke will always work.
I saw him about 10 years ago at the Civic. Fantastic show. Just so much fun.
All right. I just got a little bit of this middle section. Yeah. And then we can move on. And where are they now? The little people of Stonehenge. This is what's great is because now, of course, is when the 11-inch Stonehenge is descending out of, and the dwarves are dancing around it.
There's a problem that the 11-inch Stonehenge was trod upon by dwarves.
I forgot how alert.
No, it's been to the, it's where, like, what's his name? Is St. Hubbins, what's his name? Derek St. Hubbins? Or no, Christopher St. Hubbins?
Yeah.
David St. Hubbins?
David St. Hubbins.
Michael McKean, he's looking up and he's got that look on his face of like a, like a what the F kind of.
Dwarves are doing a jig
and
around.
It's going so fast. It's being lowered past his face and it's all tiny.
And the Stonehenge keeps wobbling back and forth. It's the funniest damn thing ever.
All right, see, come on, that was worth it. It was worth the wait.
That was.
All right, top five soundtracks of all time by the guys at filmfeverradio.com.
Number one.
And at number one.
No, it's not.
At long last.
God, no.
Highlander.
What? Highlander. That's right. This is the song "Who Wants to Live Forever" by Queen.
Well, I can't knock this song.
Well,
I
no,
mean,
but I'm just saying it's strange.
What else is on this?
It's strange that our number one album was never an official soundtrack in the U.S. At least, mm-hmm. It actually, the fact that the Queen album, Some Kind of Magic, was written for the film Highlander.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they never actually released a soundtrack for it.
I didn't know that album. I'm a big Queen fan. I didn't know that.
And this song was penned in the limo after the screening of Highlander.
Really?
They were leaving the film.
This is a great song.
This is a fantastic song. So, yeah, I just had to put, because, you know, Film Fever Radio, we're huge Queen fans, and Flash Gordon almost made this list, because that's a great album too.
Okay, I was so afraid Top Gun was going to play a lot. Boy, what a great song this is. I remember, like, the week after Freddie Mercury died, Axl Rose was the guest on Rockline, which is the syndicated, like, call-in show. And he was doing this whole thing about how Freddie Mercury kind of saved his life. And, you know, because he grew up in Indiana and blah, blah, blah. No rock and roll, da, 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 da. And then they played this right after Freddie Mercury had died. And I know it's about Highlander, but yeah, still, I mean, it's just... By Any Yardstick is really an amazing song.
It's so great.
Beautiful song. Freddie Mercury, man. It's...
Yeah, you never get another one of him. All right. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. FilmFeverRadio.com. Scott Daly's here. Be back to wrap it up after this. You stay right there. Broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Coming up Monday, we'll start talking about finding a lead singer for Red Hot Pistol. Also, a big announcement. We've kind of been teasing it this week. If you've been listening carefully, you may have heard that. A huge announcement of the Rick Emerson Show Monday. That's coming up. Rick, I heard that Johnny Depp is pondering the role of Freddie Mercury in a movie about Queen. Have you or Scott heard about this? I have not.
Oh, really?
How great would that be?
Oh.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it.
Short, but I think other than that.
Well, he's got normal teeth, so.
Yeah, there's that.
But fit him with some huge horse prosthetic.
Movie makeup magic, you know.
That would be fantastic.
That would be phenomenal.
And it is weird that there hasn't been a movie about Freddie Mercury because it is, you know, he has such a theatrical and just is such a flamboyant life in so many ways. No, I haven't heard anything about
fantastic.
That, but. All right. Let's see.
Depp and Burton are working on Sweeney Todd.
Yes, the cannibalism.
Yes.
Before we do anything else, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to death, squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Oh, by the way, just real quickly, I want to announce this, because tickets go on sale today. Oh, are they on sale today? Am I effed? Oh, damn. Okay, well, I almost don't want to announce it today. Tickets went on sale hours ago, 5 hours ago, for the heads in the house, as the kids say. DJ Shadow's going to be at the, you know, and I knew about this too for like 4 days, and I still didn't buy my tickets. God damn, I suck. Jeff McGinley told me this like 4 days ago. 10 o'clock this morning. What was I doing? Just sitting around, nothing. Well, I may be screwed. So, DJ Shadow's going to be at the Crystal Ballroom. It's the first time he's been to Portland. I think it's a solo act, like 5 years, something like that, 4 years. Crystal Ballroom, Monday, April 23rd, DJ Shadow. He's got the new album out, The Stranger, which is different. Not bad, different. Scotty J, hello, sir.
Howdy.
Would you like to explain to Sarah or Scott or everybody how you feel that I dropped the ball comedically today?
No, I just...
No.
I it's funny, because I sometimes have a vision, and it's not my show, but, you know, I think it was a good show.
What was your... You said I missed the boat.
Well,
Scotty, I walked by Scotty's room, and he's like, Rick, you really missed the boat today.
Well, it's just that it's only like once a year that this St. Patty's thing comes around.
It is like once a year, yes.
So why?
Once in a half a year.
To be fair. It's a good time to play a whole bunch of funny, crazy stuff about guys going into pubs and them being out of beer and just, I don't know.
We played like 100 different Irish songs.
Guys getting knocked down, getting up again.
Yeah, that type of thing.
We played many, many Irish songs today. Sarah?
His name is not Mick Emerson.
We did.
Would you say you played
Emerson?
Should we play a couple of them?
Would you acknowledge here that we played, I mean, 8, 9, 10?
You did it for every CNN correspondent.
Every CNN correspondent.
I guess a lot of those. A
couple times an hour.
Bagpipe type songs sound the same.
Yeah, I played like a different song for each CNN correspondent.
I was hoping they would sound a little different.
It's not my fault. It's bagpipes. How different could they sound? And part of it is, to be fair, see, it's a good, you are hoist by your own petard here. You are a
retard or a petard?
Here's your book, Scotty. Look it up.
Okay. Yeah, look it up in your 100-word book. No, here's the thing. Is that Scotty comes in. God bless you, Scotty. You do all this work. Scotty comes in, and he tries to give me this guilt trip. First, I was like, I was up till 12:30 editing Irish music for you, which is fine.
I just want you to know I do some work. I don't just sit home.
Oh, don't fish for compliments.
Watch TV.
But you gave me literally like 50 songs. There's no way I could have played all of that. I could have played 3 every break, and I couldn't have gotten all the songs you played me.
Right. It was there for your choosing.
I chose many.
Gee, thanks,
I played many.
I'm sure you appreciate that.
You brought the songs, I played the songs.
Okay.
I'm sure Rick Emerson of the Rick Emerson Show appreciates that.
This is what you do. You're over there thinking in your head. You're agreeing with me out loud, but in your head, you were thinking to yourself, I could have been so much funnier if only I'd been in charge of the show.
Well, we should give Scotty another chance at being on the show and hosting a segment.
I think it's time for another exciting installment of the Scotty J Show.
No, that, I wasn't thinking that
we'll
at
do
all.
That next week. Thanks, Scotty. I'm glad you agree. We'll do that on Tuesday, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, you should give him a hug. He looks
good. I used your songs. You brought in the songs. I used them.
Play one of the damn Irish sounders, please.
Okay, the squid one.
This is not the squid one. See, this
Will
is yet another
squid one.
Hey, Scotty, is the squid one a bunch of double entendres about a man's penis?
I think it is. Okay. It's kind of funny.
No. Is that what makes it wacky?
No, we're going to play this one instead. You want me to play a 2-minute song about a man's penis?
No, he's talking about baiting his hook, you know.
How exactly does that make it an Irish song? Is it because there's bagpipes?
You've
lost your only ally.
Lost Sarah.
Scotty, what's happening at FilmFeverRadio.com?
I do episodes tonight. Our entire show this week is all about soundtracks.
Excellent.
And scores. And tomorrow night we are recording our 6th Film Fever Radio commentary for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Very cool.
So that'll be
speaking of Johnny Depp. Excellent, yes, sir. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Go there now. Do it.
Do it.
The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. In the news from Tim Riley, our PA, Scotty J. The Gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Like us next. Fuel tomorrow, 9 to 11. We'll see you Monday. As always, don't let the bastards drain it out. Thank you for listening.
Be safe. Bye.